Welcome back to another episode of Exploring the Arts. My name is Joel Thiel.
And my name is Ian McMillan.
And today we are here with Dr. David Talcott. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's get right into business as we usually do. Who are you and what do you do at NSA?
Yes, I'm Dr. David Talcott. I'm new faculty here at NSA. I'm a fellow of philosophy as well as the graduate dean.
Awesome. And this is your first year. Yeah. And
this is my first year.
Yeah,
yep.
First year.
And you're taking on the other half of the philosophy colloquium from Dr. McIntosh.
That's right. So all of the juniors take 1 year of philosophy. And right now, Dr. McIntosh and I are kind of splitting duties on that. So students take either the colloquium with him or with me at this juncture. Yep.
So what are those two classes? And well, could you give a little rundown of your class?
Yeah. So his class focuses on political and economic philosophy from antiquity to the present. Mine focuses on metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics from antiquity to the present, with an emphasis on ethics. So we're reading Plato and Aristotle. We're going to read Augustine and Aquinas. We're going to read moderns like Descartes, Kant, John Stuart Mill, Nietzsche, Jean-Paul Sartre. We'll watch things get good and then watch things get bad is kind of how the history of philosophy goes. So that's the sweep of it.
Gotcha.
And where did this come from? Why are you interested in philosophy?
Why am I interested in philosophy? Yes. That's a good question, actually. Mm-hmm. It happened, when I was in college, like it does for many people. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to college to study history. And then I took a philosophy class. And I thought it was more interesting. Then I took another one. Mm-hmm. And then I was not only more interested in it, I was actually better at it. So you tend to move towards things that you find that you're better at. Mm. And so, taking an intro to philosophy course at Hillsdale College, which is where I went to college, and then jumping into second semester, a 300 level course on Thomas Aquinas, I was in way over my head. That's like deep waters get thrown into as a freshman. And, I was precocious. So I thought, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not try it? And it was very difficult. I spent a lot of time on that class, but learned a lot through it and just really appreciated the rigor and thoughtfulness and seriousness of philosophy and just the meaningfulness of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And switched my major and kind of never stopped from there.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you think those classes had an effect on your teaching style? Like the certain professors that you had, did they affect how you now present your philosophy?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Mm-hmm. The models that you see in the professors you admire really do influence how you teach. And undergraduate, graduate, and other speakers that you get familiar with and so forth. But yeah, when you spend, a semester, two semesters, three semesters with a teacher that you respect, it makes an impact. Yeah, it did for me.
Wonderful. And so I guess, what would you say is kind of the main purpose of philosophy for, I guess, those of, people of like my background who didn't even know what philosophy was until like coming out here. What would be your kind of elevator pitch for why, I guess, it's important for the Christian to at least be literate in this kind of sphere of things?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. A starting place is God gave us minds, minds which are capable of understanding the world that he made. This is what we think when we do science, right? That we can look out at the world, reflect on it, study it, come to understand it. And philosophy is like science without the experiments. They use thought experiments. They use thinking and reasoning. So philosophy doesn't ignore the world in front of us. Instead, tries to understand the features of it that go beyond the mere scientific. It's actually, there'd be a lot of different elevator pitches. I want to know more about the person, okay, before I pitch them. I would use different pitches on different people. But God made us to think and he gave us minds in some parts of Christianity today, there's a perception that philosophy and Christianity are opposed to each other. They're in conflict. And that's really not the case historically. Historically, faith and reason have gone together. Philosophy and Christianity have gone together. And the life of the mind hasn't been antagonistic to the life of faith. They work together. And so I think fundamentally Christian philosophy is that. It's faith seeking understanding and seeing the two working together. And you don't shut off understanding just because you have faith. And you don't shut out faith just because you have some understanding. They work together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of half of that equation there. Mm-hmm.
So obviously that the Christian mindset and worldview is, you know, it comes inherently at NSA. What is your strategy for engaging with other people who aren't approaching philosophy from a Christian mm-hmm. Perspective?
Ridicule, mockery. no, not that. Yeah. That again, mm-hmm. You've asked a very broad question for a very context sensitive situation, right? So am I talking to a young person or an old person? Do I have a lot of time with them and do I not? So there's a lot of pieces to that.
So I guess maybe honing in a little bit more specifically there, what would you say to somebody who was skeptical of studying the pagans, right? Plato, Aristotle, is it that they have nothing good to say because they're pagan or, what's your approach to dealing with people who are not Christians, but who are important culturally?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things there. One, you should approach them with a certain degree of healthy skepticism, mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to the big issues of life. We think pagans get that wrong. Mm-hmm. We don't think they know God correctly, and we don't think they can see the big picture correctly. Mm. But that doesn't mean everything they say is wrong. And it doesn't mean because of God's common grace mm-hmm. that they don't see some parts of the story correctly. Mm. And often even appreciate certain features that Christians can be negligent of. Mm-hmm. So I do think even reading pagans, there's often quite a bit to learn. Some more than others. some are definitely kind of cautionary tales, mm-hmm. examples of where this kind of unbelief can take you into real total shipwreck and disaster.
Yeah.
Others are, again, by God's grace, and much more of a mixed bag. Mm. And I think when you read across history, especially, you can see a pretty big diversity in the way that different thinkers have approached life and just approach questions of understanding the world. So not all paganism is the same, not all unbelief is the same, and not mm-hmm. all belief is the same. Christians have questions that we disagree about as well. Mm. So even for those who are Christians and we're part of the church, part of God's people, that doesn't mean we automatically understand everything hard about the world right away.
Right.
We still have a lot of questions and things to figure out. Mm. We can see the big outlines of the big picture, but there's a lot to fill in. Mm. And so just like we're engaging in scientific inquiry, technological development, philosophy is an attempt to understand the world at a really basic level. And Christianity helps us with that, but it doesn't mean there's nothing left to do. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of work to do, right? And just like with science, God created us, placed us in the garden, gave us a task and a mission to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, and to cultivate and care for the garden. Mm. And part of that work is intellectual work.
Right.
The cultivation of the garden is intellectual work. The first act that Adam does, that we see him do in Genesis 2, mm-hmm. is to name the animals. Right? God brings the animals to him and he names them. It's an intellectual project. Mm-hmm. So we tend to think of taking dominion as like farming and technology and this and that and the other thing. Intellectual work is dominion. And philosophy is an important part of that. It has been historically. There's like a million reasons to cautiously, thoughtfully, and thoroughly study philosophy.
That's wonderful.
Interesting. What would an argument be from somebody who, you know, maybe wants to back off of the, you know, highfalutin like philosophers? How would that interaction go, do you think?
So backing off of complicated jargon, fancy talk,
especially
and so forth.
Christians who think
the
form's just
Dr. Tonka.
Well, I guess one thing I would ask them is, do they approach all the other parts of their life that way, or are they just bigoted? That's a strong word. That is, do they approach other parts of life that way? So in their job, do they not have technical terms? Mm-hmm. When they do theology, when they study the Bible, do they not want technical mm-hmm. terms? There's an excess of technical terms, mm-hmm. and then there's the appropriate amount that are actually useful. So only get jargony if it helps. I actually spend a lot of time with students trying to de-jargonify them.
Yeah.
Philosophy is hard enough without adding more fancy words.
Misapplied so, words too.
Yeah, and the more you do that, the more likely you are to screw it up. So simplicity and elegance of thought is a real, is a virtue. Yeah. So, it, you know, once we have a particular concept, it's okay to give a new word to it. So, and you do often in philosophy try to explore parts of life that maybe we don't, you know, carefully think about all that often. So if we need some new words, okay, well, we'll invent some new words. We can do that. But only if they're helpful. If they're not helpful, they're just getting in the way of clear thinking. And the best philosophers have agreed with that. We don't need to make it more complicated than it is. But it is a bit of a complicated world out there. So,
one thing you just touched on was kind of the relationship between theology and philosophy. I think I've heard a lot of different answers on that, but how would you kind of parse out that difference there?
The difference between them?
Yeah, or like maybe the similarity between them. What? Is it just a matter of they're concerned with different things, but kind of doing the same thing just in different spheres, or how do you think about that?
This is a matter of scholarly debate. That's a useful phrase. What philosophy itself even is a matter of dispute. That's one of the fun parts about philosophy is you get to argue even about what it is.
Yeah.
Questions that are just really hard and puzzling and we don't have an easy way to answer, we just give to the philosophers and they kind of muck around with it for a while. And then if they figure out good methods for answering it, it's called a science then, and then we have techniques and agreed upon ways of answering questions, and then it becomes a special discipline. So it is, and some people hate that it's really a kind of wild west of argument and ideas.
Sure.
So that can be difficult. And this is definitely a question, like how to distinguish them out. And there have been different models for doing it historically and in the present. That's more involved than I want to get into. But I would say the you know, if you ask like what's the most traditional kind of model for that in Christendom, it would be that philosophy is a handmaiden to theology, and that theology is really the master science. Theology is the most integrative of all the disciplines, and philosophy aids theology in various ways, again, conceived of in different ways, but helping with conceptual clarity, helping with logical rigor, and helping study creation and the different parts of creation.
Oh, that's great. And so, I guess backing up a little bit, for you said your class focuses on metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics with an emphasis on ethics.
Yeah.
So could you kind of briefly explain what those three things are?
Yeah, fancy terms that we don't need.
Exactly, yeah. And then why ethics, why the emphasis on ethics?
Yeah. So that's like a classic division between the different parts of philosophy. Mm-hmm. So what are the different parts of the discipline of philosophy? Metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics are three of the standard ways of dividing it up. Metaphysics studies what is, so asking questions about what exists and what kinds of things exist and how they relate to each other at a really fundamental level. So for example, are there material things, non-material things, both, other kinds of entities? What kinds of entities exist? I'm going to a conference next week and there's a panel on the metaphysical status of numbers.
Okay.
What is a number? We use numbers all the time. We assume that they're very useful, right? They're great, great things. But they are, like, a question like that kind of reveals, I don't know, the things we use in math.
Yeah.
Are what metaphysical status do they have? Are they just concepts in our minds? Are they things out there? Are they techniques or tools? What is a number? That's a hard one. So don't think about that too long. Your brain will crack. But that's a number, a question like that. But the relationship between soul and body. What are the elements of the world at a real basic level? Science obviously tries to get at that question, but science can't study the immaterial very easily. So if you just start with a kind of materialist scientific picture, you end up with a materialist metaphysic.
Yeah. Because it just does, immaterial just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So metaphysics studies questions of being like that. What is? Epistemology is a study of knowledge, how we know, how we gain knowledge, what knowledge consists in. And there's different, you know, ways of tackling those kinds of questions. But how do you know, right? That great question. That's an epistemological question. And then ethics is the practical side of philosophy that studies what kind of people we should be and how we should live. So ethics is practical philosophy.
Hmm.
And so that's what we'll be looking at in there, is different ways that Christians and non-Christians in the West have conceived of a good human life, a successful, happy, flourishing human life. What goes into that? Mm-hmm. How do we get it? And looking at how Plato and Aristotle argue about that, and then on forward into Christians, and then more recent discussions of that. Mm. And I think, you know, of the various subfields, that's one that is, it's one that's relevant to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, all these are actually relevant because by nature, we desire to know.
Mm-hmm.
We are curious people, but we don't just coast through life. We like to know. And so actually all of philosophy is actually relevant in that sense to fulfilling who we are as human beings. Mm-hmm. But ethics in particular, because it deals with action, with doing, with our character, with who we are like that. I think everyone realizes there are big questions about how to live.
Mm.
And so trying to thoughtfully do that and do that in a way that's historically informed and not just try to invent that in the 21st century, which seems like a really bad idea, but to do it more intelligently is the goal.
In your experience, what field does a Christian worldview conflict with a non-Christian worldview the most?
Within philosophy, you mean?
Yeah.
There's various ways. Yeah, I do think in the ethical realm, especially today, you know, in the ethical areas, there's quite a bit of conflict. Mm. Actually, it's been very difficult for Christians to go into academia in ethics in particular in the last couple decades, just because the way that Western culture has moved is pretty hostile to a lot of Christian commitments. A lot of evangelical philosophers of the last few decades have gone into metaphysics and epistemology because they don't have to. They end up less kind of publicly controversial by doing that. Mm. You know, you can argue about the status of numbers or different epistemological questions without drawing kind of cultural fire for it. Mm. Ethics and political questions, social questions, those tend to be more controversial. So a Christian view of the sanctity of life, for instance, is really unpopular in the academy today. It does tend to be ethics that you see a lot more flashpoints, especially recently, but not only ethics. Think of materialism in terms of a very dominant worldview in the West in many quarters. That's a metaphysical position that, if you want to argue, there are actually non-physical things like souls, you know, and moral values and things like that. That's can be a pretty suspicious thing to do, or numbers. Maybe they're metaphysical things, you know, non-physical things. So there are tricky things like that. I think when it comes to epistemology as well, a kind of epistemic relativism is pretty attractive to a lot of people out there. And Christians can run afoul of that, but most pagans don't like the rank relativism either. So that's one area that Christians have been able to be a little safe on, I would say.
Well, switching gears a little bit, let's talk about you.
Sure.
Tell us about your Christian testimony.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home in Southern California. My parents were both first-generation Christians, although they had grandparents on different sides that were Christians. I grew up in a Christian home. Wasn't Reformed or any kind of confessional Protestant or anything, just non-denominational, dispensational background, but very pious, love of Scripture. I'm really thankful for my parents and for the upbringing that I had. And I went to college and kind of became more reformed in college through Bible studies there and studying John chapter 6, really impressed the doctrines of grace upon me. And so kind of moved in a more Reformed Protestant, historically confessional direction, and eventually became full Presbyterian. And before moving out here, we were in a PCA church for the last 12 years out in New Jersey. So, yeah. So that's a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. And so...
How did you end up out here? How did you end up at NSA?
How did you get to NSA?
Yeah, how did I get to NSA? Twists and turns and divine providence, really.
Amen.
I went to grad school at Indiana University and didn't want to be any further east than that. That's far enough east. My wife's family was west. My family was west. We didn't want to be on the East Coast, but God had different ideas. And then 12 years later, I was still teaching at the King's College in New York City, which is where I went after grad school. and spent over a decade there teaching philosophy there. It's part of the politics, philosophy, and economics program that we ran. And over the past few years, things changed in different ways. And I had known about NSA for a long time. My in-laws had been in a CREC church since about 2000, Christ Church Spokane. And so I'd known about NSA for a long time. My former pastor in Indiana, Tim Bailey, knows Pastor Wilson out here. Mm-hmm. So I had known about NSA for quite a while. And I met Ben Merkel at a few different things a few years ago and started talking. I came out here 2 years ago for the NSA lectureship and visited four times, gave some talks. And through all that and some things going on back east, providentially, it became really clear that this was the time to make the move. And I say that Ben Merkel made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And so here I am today and very glad to be here. I've really enjoyed moving out here and meeting people here. And I really like our program and what we're doing. And it's fun to be a part of.
Well, that's wonderful. And so I guess in closing here, what do you do for fun?
Fun?
Fun.
What's fun?
What? Okay.
Is that a philosophical question?
I've heard of this fun. Or? Oh, it's a philosophical.
What is fun?
Question. Yeah. I mean, so I have six kids. I like to play with the kids, hang out with the kids and the wife and, go for hikes. I used to play guitar. Don't do too much of that anymore. Mm-hmm. Used to do some singing, mostly just do that at church.
Yeah.
But I like to read, I'll read fiction.
Oh, great.
I do get away from philosophy eventually. Right. But yeah, we're looking forward to exploring what the outdoor opportunities are here. Getting out.
Absolutely.
Getting out in the dirt, out in the wild. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. This was great.
Yep. Thank you. Mm-hmm.